Good morning, everybody. We are in chapter 3 of Sefer Daniel, up to Pasuk 26. Now, just every so often I'm going to remind you that the first chapter of Daniel tells us the story of the exile. The Jews were taken into exile in Babel, and there were four young people that were brought to the house of Nebuchadnezzar in order to be raised there. And those four were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they gave them Babylonian names. Daniel became Belshazzar, and the others became Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Chapter 2 of Sefer Daniel, which we're going to have to get back to on a number of occasions, is the story of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. He dreams about a big statue, and the statue is made up of parts, and ultimately the statue is crushed and destroyed utterly by a stone that comes out of a mountain. It's Daniel who is able to not only interpret the dream, but tell him what the dream was. And now we're at chapter 3, Pasuk 26, which is going to be the story of Kiddush Shem Shomayim, sanctifying God's name, by Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. This year is dedicated, number one, in memory of Reva Pack's husband, Oliver Shalom. What, Reuven? Zev Abraham Ben Aryeh Leib. And the our study here should be Le'ilui Nishmato, and it's also this year is also in honor of Ida Kremener on her 94th birthday. It's Jackie's mother-in-law 94th birthday. We should all be zeichet tachichas yom and v'shalom. Gesundheit. So it's the story of the great. We're back to the story of the great Kiddush Hashem. Really, in order to pick up, I think that it's terribly important, at least, that we go over Pasuk 24 and 25. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have adamantly, obstinately refused to bow down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar has erected to himself in the Valley of Dura. Everything here is taking place in the Valley of Dura, and as we pointed out last week, the Valley of Dura, there are two other things that happened in that valley. That was the valley where the people of the generation of the Haflaga, those who built the great tower going up to the heavens, that was in the Valley of Dura, the end of Parshat Noach. The Jews that are brought back to life, the bones, the dry bones that are brought back to life by God, and this is a vision that is seen by Yechezkel, this also takes place in the Valley of Dura. Which ultimately really, when you take all three of these events together, it's really telling us the following. It's telling us that idolatry, or man's conceit, man's attempt to take over the heavens and the earth, will crumble and ultimately fail completely. But Jews will be brought back to life. The bones. The bones there ask, Ovda tikvatenu, they said, we've lost, all hope has been lost. And the Rebbein Shem's response to them is, of course, Old lo avda, tikva tenu. Our hope has not been lost. Pasuk 24 and 25. Eidayin Nebuchadnezzar Malka tiva v'kam behid bahala. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king tiva. He was full of wonder. He was perplexed. And he arose quickly, Onei ba'omar lahadov rohi. He lifted his voice and he said to his advisors, "Hallo, Gumrun Klosa, Rimena Lego, Nura Mechaftin. Hallo, but indeed, Guvrin Tlota, three men, Remino, we threw Lego Nura into the fire, Michaptin, while they were tied. Didn't we throw three people in? Onyan, the Amdin, the Malka," they answered and said to the king, "Yatsiva, Malka, it's true, king. Yes, we threw three bound people into the furnace." Oneva Amna, so the king said, "But I see Guvrin Arba'a, I see four people. Shirayin." Shirayin means unbound, untied, unfettered, free. "Mahalchin are walking begonura in the midst of the fire. V'chaval lo itai bahon," and there is absolutely no blemish upon them. "V'reve didivi oya," and the appearance of the fourth one is what is it like? It is like Dame Lebar Elohim. It is like a Bar Elohim. Bar Elohim is angel, and of course we pointed that out, that appears in Brich Shmei. We do not place our trust in Bar Elohim. So here he's completely confused at what he sees. Bedayin, Pasuk 26, Bedayin Kerev Nebuchadnezzar Litera Atun Nura Yakidata. Then Nebuchadnezzar Krav went close. Litera means to the gate, to the door of Atun Nura Yakidata, the burning furnace. Ane Va'amar, and he said, "Shadrach, Meshach, Va'avadnego, Avdohi de Eloha Ila'a, the servants of the Almighty God, Puku, get up, the etu, and come." Bedayin then Nafkin, they came out, Shadrach, Meshach, Vavednego, Mingon Nura, they came out from the fire. It's fascinating that the Mephoshim want to know, did they wait until they're invited to come out? I mean, what are they doing? They're walking around. Well, if they're walking around, why don't they just walk? Why don't they walk right out? So, Rashi says, fascinatingly enough, and we find this a number of times in Tanakh, because of Kvod Malchut, their respect for king and royalty, "You threw us in, you're going to have to give us permission to come out." By the way, we have this a number of times when Moshe stands before Paro, though of course what he would want to say is tell him precisely what he thinks of him, but he does not. He conducts himself with great dignity in the presence of Paro until their very last meeting. We find the same thing. Eliyahu and Ahav were the two antagonists. Eliyahu Anavi and Ahav, the great idol worshipper. These two were a clash of two completely different people. Despite that, it says, "Vayishanes Eliyahu et Masnav." Eliyahu ran before the chariot of Ahav. Because there's something to, from my side, I have to show respect for the king. I mean, they obviously know that they have Nebuchadnezzar over a barrel anyway. But they wait until he gives them permission, That's Rashi. Rashi says, though they were so confident of the nest that happened to them, their heart didn't let them, they could not act in contempt of the king to go leave without permission. The Medrash Tanhuma says that they didn't want anybody to say about them that they fled from the furnace. Somebody before said they were just walking around. Yeah, you said they were just walking. That's right. we're going to continue walking around over here in this burning furnace. Let nobody say we fled from it. Do you know what's fascinating about this Tanchuma? Take a second look at the Tanchuma. I mean, the miracle is clear to everybody. But you know what happens with a miracle with the passage of time? There is always somebody who will begin to attempt to punch holes in the miracle, even if it's done in the most ridiculous way. If you think about what I'm saying, you'll be able to come up with all sorts of contemporary ideas that are expressed by this Medrash. Now, how silly is this? If they're going to come out now without permission, somebody is going to say they went through 10,000 degrees of heat, and then they ran out of the... They ran out. What does it mean they ran out? I mean, it's so silly, but don't you agree that there was a great miracle? Oh, but they ran out! You know what you do with that? You begin to diminish the impact of the miracle. Rashi says it, a similar idea in this week's Sedra. Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham holidat Yitzchak. These are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. So of course Rashi is troubled. Why the repetition? If Yitzchak is the son of Avraham, why does it have to say that Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak? So the Rashi says, famous Rashi, Mipnei shehayu leitzonei hador omrim. The jokesters, the comics, has stand-up-im. The stand-up comics of the generation said, Me Avimelech nit Abra Sora became pregnant from Avimelech. In other words, because all these years she had been living with Avram, she didn't become pregnant after she leaves the house of Avimelech. She had been taken forcibly to the house of Avimelech, and then she became pregnant, Me Avimelech nit Abra Sora. In other words, a 90-year-old woman that she gets pregnant, even if we would say that, this is not a miracle. But you know, when you begin to, you take one aspect of the miracle and you denigrate it, then ultimately the whole miracle begins to crumble. And it, even though it makes no sense, it makes no sense. But they understood that Tanchuma says that if they would leave on their own accord, so the first report is going to be they left. The second report is going to be from an eyewitness, they left quickly. The third report is going to be they left in great haste. By the time the fourth report rolls around, they fled. They fled after having spent, I don't know, an hour in 10,000. It doesn't make any difference. You are ready to begin to diminish. There's a chink in the armor of the miracle. The Mitzudas David says that philosophically there's an extremely important point that's made by the Mitzudas David. Mitzudas David says for this moment, do you know what they feel? You know where they're safer? They're safer inside the furnace than out. How do they know what's waiting for them outside the furnace? Maybe they'll be going from the fire into the frying pan. How do they know what Nebuchadnezzar is going to do? For all they can imagine, it may very well be that Nebuchadnezzar, whose plans to kill them had been frustrated, will be so angry that when they emerge from the furnace, he'll have them killed on the spot. And the Mitsuda says, what do you mean I haven't killed on the spot? What do you mean? He has to explain, how does a man who has just witnessed a miracle of this sort, how does he do it? So he says, because ha'odom bal b'chira, because man has free will. And if man has free will, you can never trust him. You can never be certain. He may one moment be extremely impressed by the great miracle, and the next moment he's going to go ahead and he will vent his wrath and his anger against those who indeed were the beneficiaries of the miracle. Isn't that the story of the whole chapter? The whole chapter over here comes after the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, where he saw this great statue, and he was the head of gold. And ultimately he learns that this statue is going to be shattered and destroyed, and it's going to fall apart. Does that stop Nebuchadnezzar from going out to defy the dream? He goes out to defy the dream and to defy everything by erecting a statue to himself, which is all made out of gold, and therefore he assumes that he's going to beat the odds. He's going to beat the prophecy. He's going to be able to remain, I don't know, king for ever and ever after. Because that's the man. Man can see the truth staring him in the face. And because he has choice, he may simply reject and set aside that truth. And people are doing it all the time. Only comment I will make to say is that Barbara Tuchman's march of folly continues unimpeded, uninterrupted, with absolute haste. And there's only a Rabbeinu Shlalim in heaven who will be able to explain. I'll never be able to explain it. One final comment I just wanted on the tape. This is another day that will live in infamy in the history of the Jewish people. That's all. Okay. You can see the truth before your very eyes. Makes no difference. Hanani, Mishael and Barzai are aware of the fact that Nebuchadnezzar has seen something absolutely awesome. But he may yet choose, when they come out of the furnace, he may yet destroy them. Therefore they wait. They wait to hear his permission. They're going to be listening to his voice also. They want to hear how does he speak. And do you hear how he speaks? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, it sounds like the God, servants of the Almighty God, come out. Beidayin, then Nafkin, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Min Gonura. Only then did they go out of the furnace. Umit Kanshin, these are words we had before, and they gathered together. Who gathered together? The Achashdar Penayo, the Signayo, and the Pachavosa, the Hadavre, Malta, the governors, the assistants, the rulers of local... The satraps were the Achashdar Penayo. That's the one thing I still remember. The Achashdar Penayo were the satraps. Signaya are the scans, they are the assistants. Pachavosa, Pachav, those are the governors, Vahadovre Malka, and the advisors of the king. Chozyan leguvraye ileich, they saw these people, dilo shleit nura begesh mihon. Nura, the fire, shleit, did not rule over their geshem, their bodies. Nothing happened. Usa'ar deishon, and the hair of the heads, lo hit chorach, were not singed. Nothing. Visarboleon lo shanu, and their clothing didn't change. Vereach nur, even the smell of fire, lo odas bahon, did not pass through them. Nothing has changed. On native the Chanetz of Amma, lifted his voice and he said, "Berich Elohahon the Shadrach Meshach Abednego. Blessed is the God of Shadrach Meshach and Abednego, the Shalach Malachei, who sent his angel, the Sheziv La'avdohi." We're going to see that word Sheziv is going to come a number of times. We're going to see it in a number of places. The Sheziv means that he saved Avdohi, his servants, the Hidrechitzu Alohi. Hitrechitzu. What does Hitrechitzu mean? Huh? I knew you were going to say that. It was the trap, and I needed somebody. You did it. I needed somebody. No, you served a very important purpose. The Hitrechitzu alay. When you find out what the word means.
It says change. Change? It says change?
No.
The king's word.
No. Hitrechitzu alohi. he said, blessed is the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the Shalach Malachi, that God who sent his angel, the Sheziv La'avdohi, and he saved his servants, the Hitrechitzu Alohi, who trusted in him. Bei Ana Rochitz. How many thousands of times have you sung that? Bei Ana Rochitz. I mean, I want this tape to be a musical tape too. Bei Ana Rochitz. What does Bei Ana Rochitz mean? Bei in him, Ana Rochitz. I depend, I trust in him. I have faith in him. Vilishme Kadisha, Kadisha Yakira, and to his holy and precious name. We praise and we thank Bei Ana Rochitz. Oh, you're going to come into shul this Shabbos. You have the right to ask somebody sitting next to you, what does Bei Ana Rochitz mean? I wash in him?
Cleanse.
Cleanse. You're trying. Okay. Vihitrechitzu Alohi. And they trusted in him. Umilat Malko Shani. They changed the words of the king. That means they rejected me. Viyahavu Geshmahom. And they were ready to give their whole Geshem. They were ready to give their bodies. Dilo Yitlechum. So that they shouldn't serve, worship, v'lo yizgedun l'chol alhain, they will not bow to any god. Lahain, lahain ela hein, only to their god. He is overwhelmed now when the full immensity of what Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah, what they did, it all of a sudden hits him that these people were ready to, they did give their lives. They did give their lives because they will not serve nor bow before any other god. And then Nebuchadnezzar goes on to say, Umini sim te'em, from me goes out the law, the command. Dikol am uma velishon, every people, nation, and tongue. Diyemar sholu al elohahon, who is going to say something. The word shalu means something negative. If anybody's going to say anything negative about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Avadnego, so we know already, those of us who learned Ezra and Nehemiah, we've had it over here also already a number of times, these people, when they make threats, they know how to make a threat. And therefore he says, anybody who's going to say a bad word about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Avadnego, Hadomin Yit Abed, he will be made into pieces, you know, cut up into little pieces. Ubaite, and his house, Nivoli Yishtave, will be made into, give me a better word than a dunghill, garbage. It's going to be turned into just plain garbage. Kol Kaveil, because Delo Isa Eloho Acharam, there is no other God. Diyikul Hatzolo Kiduna, who is capable of saving as this. There is no other God that can do this. And therefore he says, nobody dare say a negative word about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Avadnego. Beidayin Malka, then the king, Hatzlach, Le Shadrach, Meshach, Vavednego, Bimidinat Bavel. Then the king, Hatzlach. Hatzlach, of course, comes from the word, yes, Hatzlacha, success, but it even means, more than that, it means to grow, to become great. He made Shadrach, Meshach, and Avadnego great leaders in Medinat Bavel, in his country called Bavel. Two interesting things about this chapter. Number one, from here on and further till the end of the Sefer and beyond, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah are never mentioned again. They were mentioned in the first parak, they were mentioned in the last pasuk of the second parak. After Daniel rises to greatness, he calls upon the king to also confer greatness on his friends. And now, of course, the whole chapter that deals with the Kiddush Shem Shemayim of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they're not going to be heard from again. Of course, there are those who say, and most probably true, that they went on aliyah. In other words, how many times can a miracle happen in Golus? You know, they went on aliyah. So therefore, the question is now the one person who is not mentioned in this perek, and that was one of the questions we said we're going to have to deal with, where was Daniel? So I found one place that brings all of the answers. I Xeroxed it for you. I have a Xerox machine and I've become a mad Xeroxer. Yeah. Huh? You have one? Oh, so what question do you have? Yeah. This is called this is not a Klein Yisrael miracle. And then what are we going to do the next time around? Next time around, it's not a Klein Yisrael miracle. And the proof that it's not a Klein Yisrael miracle is because there's no Yom Tov for it. And therefore, what remains with us is Misha'ana Lachananya, Misha'al Vazariah, the Kibshan Ha'esh, Hu Ya'anenu. How often did we say that during the period of Slichas and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? We say it on any fast day, Misha'ana Lachananya, Misha'al Vazariah. It's not. A Yom Tov requires that it should be a Klal Yisrael Hatzalah. And it wasn't.
I'm not asking for converts.
You're asking for converts? You're asking for converts. I don't understand. I don't know what I'm supposed to tell you. I should tell you about converts. I don't know how to begin to answer the question. I don't know. Maybe there are, maybe there aren't. The only place where you heard of converts was after the in the Megillah it says the Rabin may ame ha'odetz misyahadim kinofal pachad Mordechai Alehem. Many of the people started becoming converts because of the fear of Mordechai. I don't know, there's no fear of anybody here. I can't even answer. You know what? I can't answer that question. Before you ask your other question, let me just tell you, there's a Gemara that says, the Gemara at the end of Masechta Pesachim says the following. And this is, of course, in connection, I just want to tell you that a little yontif it was. The Gemara says the following. In Hallel we say, Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu, ki im l'shimcha tein kavod, al chazdecha va'al amitecha. Lo lanu, not for our sake, Hashem, lo lanu. We're not asking for our sake, but what we're asking is ki im l'shimcha, for your name tein kavod. In other words, when you bring a Hatzalah, when you save Klal Yisrael, it's not only us, but it's your name. And your name becomes known in the world through chazdecho v'amitecho, when you do kindness and you do truth. Says the Gemara in the Masechtas Pesachim, this was if there's a barbershop quartet, then you have a Kibshon Ha'esh trio. The trio over here was Chananya said, Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu, it's not for our sake that we're asking. Mishael said, Ki im l'shimcha tein kavod, the nation give great honor for your name. And then Azariah said, Al chazdecha v'al amitecha, we're waiting for your kindness and your truth. So here are the three of them who are in fact saying Hallel. They are saying Hallel as they find themselves in the Kishon Ha'esh. So right, let's do two things now. Number one. Oh, I'm sorry, you wanted to ask a question. It's okay? Oh, that's all right. Where was Daniel? This we can go through relatively quickly, and I hope you have your sheets from last week. We have to go through the Medrash as well. I'll read through it. Where was Daniel? Pekudat HaMelech, the king's command, L'chol Amamayo Umayo Belishnaya, to all peoples, nations, and tongues, L'hishtachavot Latzelem, to bow down to the statue, Kolol Lakoda Bnei Kol Ha'amim. It seems to have included all peoples of all nations. Now, if it includes all peoples of all nations, Tomua Madua Lo Niskra Hitnahagutoshel Shel Daniel. So, what's a wonder, a question? Why is Daniel's conduct not mentioned? Ha'im Gam Daniel Kichaberov Ninami Lishtahavot Atzelim. It doesn't mean, therefore, that Daniel, obviously, like his friends, refused to bow down to the statue. V'oz min haroi shadavo yizaker. If so, then the correct thing is to mention, it should be mentioned that he didn't bow down together with them. Im chalila davia lo kiddush Hashem v'achen yishtachavel etzel ha'pi mitzach l'chanetzah. One of two options. Either he too did not bow down. If he too did not bow down, then he should have been mentioned. If God forbid he did bow down, lo yuvan, then it's not understood. Madu azocha Daniel, Torah, Choviv, Daniel, Ish Chamudos. Daniel is going to be called Ish Chamudos, and in many, piyut and slichus where he's referred to as Ish Chamudos, and it comes from a person, the desirable person, the Meishim loves it. Umadua, Valsmach Ezes Chud Zochol Gilui Shchina, and why is so, does he become worthy to, that the divine presence is revealed to him? Ule Gilui Rosim Shonim, all sorts of secrets are going to be revealed to him. Kefish Tzianu Le'el Mishameshet Pashatenu Degim Yisod L'Masa Kiddush Hashem Anidash Mikol Yehudi Be'et Shedi Gozeh Gzeirach Shmat. First of all, you should know that this parasha is the model. This Perek 3 of the Neil, is the model of how a Jew is supposed to conduct himself when faced with a Gzeirah of Shmat. Give your life or Christ. Your life or idolatry. Or when somebody is going to be forced to worship idols, al smach mitzvah haTorah, and this is all based on Torah. V'lo techalu etchein kodshi v'nigdashti b'tor b'nei Yisrael. Pasuk in Kedoshim that says that you shall not desecrate in Emor. You shall not desecrate my holy name v'nigdashti b'tor b'nei Yisrael, and I shall be sanctified kiddush Hashem. And as the Rambam says it, kol beit Yisrael mitzuvin al kiddush Hashem hagadol hazeh. All of Israel is command on the sanctification of this great name. She'ela zubet. This question, the Daniel, heichan hoya, where was Daniel? Oh, the Gemara uses the following term, the Daniel leheichan ozal, where did he go? Hitrida heinat chazal, the trouble both chazal, heinat on the portion shalanu, our portion behade miktas min atshuvot shenitnu, here are some of the answers that are given. The Medrash Shir Hashirim, and that happens to be the medrash that we have on the other sheet that I gave you last week, and we're going to see that after we finish this. There the medrash says that he did not call upon all nations, in fact, to bow down. What he did was, he called for representatives of all nations, and he called for three people from each nation. And the three... Okay. You must be thinking back in the old days when the principal would come in and give a note to the teacher like, what is the principal? It's a phone call from my wife. Okay. So don't get excited. Oh, the Medrash Shir Hashirim. Oh, that's from the Dat Mikra. That mikra, it's the end of the after I had over years done all of the work, I find it all all right there. So it's the easiest way. So the Medrash says that only three people were called upon to represent each nation. Ushlosha mikol Yisrael, and three from all of Israel, and they were Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. Lefi Hesber Zeh, according to this explanation, Shegam Chelik min HaMeforshim Imtzuhu, this was also adopted by some of the Meforshim, Yitzku Chananya v'chaveda v'et Am Yisrael. Chananya and his friends were the ones who represented the Jewish people, but Daniel lo hayo mechuyev l'ishtachav v'atzelem, so therefore Daniel was not even called upon to bow down to these statues. So we have no problem with Daniel. Kishen shegam b'nei amamim achedim shelo nivchenu kinitzigei umoteyam lo chuyivu lishtachavot atzom, just like all the peoples of all of the other nations who are not called upon to represent their people. So therefore this is a simple, direct, and it's from the Medrash that three people were chosen from each nation, and the three representatives of Israel were Hananya, Mishael, v'Azariah. We may see, if you are wondering why indeed wasn't Daniel asked to be a representative, in the course of what is going to be said further, you will have an answer to this as well. The Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar, The Medrash of Pirkei Rav Elazar, a shifu al she'el azu v'amru v'hayoganai lahem l'sarfo. You see, Daniel had taken on godlike characteristics as far as they were concerned. They saw Daniel, the only one in the entire empire who was able to reveal the king's dream and the interpretation of the dream. They saw this, and certainly as he had said it, that it was, as Yosef had done before him, that God, the God of heaven and earth, is the one who revealed this secret to me. They saw him as a divine-like being. And therefore, the thought of burning him in the furnace was something that they simply could not deal with. Lo ba'becheshba, lo yale al hadad. That was something that they simply could not even think of. And therefore, it was pointed that Daniel should not be one of the representatives, because if Nebuchadnezzar forbid, they're not going to bow down. They're going to have to be burned. They couldn't do that to Daniel. In Ishum Hakaras Hatov. Now, why was it at Gennai? Why would it have been shameful for them to burn Daniel? In Ishum Hakaras Hatov. Either because they had gratitude. Gratitude Shen Nebuchadnezzar Chav Hayaklapav. Nebuchadnezzar felt gratitude to him. Begin Pitron Achalom, because he interpreted the dream. They considered him godlike. In the chapter before, he bows down. Nebuchadnezzar bows down to Daniel. And if Nebuchadnezzar bows down to Daniel and he wants to bring a sacrifice before him, then Daniel is godlike. And therefore, if he's godlike, he's untouchable. Now, this is, of course, untouchable in a positive sense. He's untouchable. More than that, it may very well be that in their minds they see Daniel as equal to this statue. So, you know, they believed in many gods. If you believe in many gods, you don't necessarily need that each one god should bow down to the other gods. Each one is a deity in his own right. There's the god of war, and there's the god of peace, and there's the god of love, and there's the god of this, and the god of that. So Daniel was godlike. Daniel was godlike. The Gemara says, the Gemara Dalet, the Gemara Hufu Od Deyot Laha Zbarat Ihi Matzuto Shel Daniel Demasa Kipshenesh. The Gemara brings other reasons why Daniel is not there at the furnace. Shel Daniel Yotzim and Hametino Bishlichuto Shel Melech Hametzer. I mean, that's always a good excuse. He was in Chutz La'aretz. I mean, we know that excuse. Yeah, he was in Chutz La'aretz. The fact is, according to the Gemara, even Nebuchadnezzar sent Daniel out to Chutz La'aretz so that Daniel should not be here. He didn't want him present. He didn't want him involved in it. He didn't want either the possibility of people saying let Daniel bow down, or it was just best to have Daniel out of the way. And therefore he sent him out of the country, in Eretz Yisrael, in Mitzrayim, in Makom Acher. And the Gemara has all sorts of opinions where he sent him to Eretz Yisrael, or to Mitzrayim, or elsewhere. Old Mu Vashon, the Gemara also brings Shachodesh Baruch Hu, Lorotza Shekam Daniel Yumad, Benesorin Shem Yehori Vayave, She'oz Yinotzlu Gam Ha'achenim Bezechuto Min Hamita. Very fascinating. The Rabbeinu Shalom wanted that the Kiddush Hashem of Hananiah and Yeshua of Azariah should ultimately be to their credit. In the event that Daniel would also be there, then people would say, or the impression would be left, that Hananiah, Yeshua and Azariah were saved because of Daniel. It's not the Zchuto Shel Daniel. Hananiah, Yeshua and Azariah are Mekadosh Shem Shemayim Avraham. There's another opinion. There's another opinion in the Gemara that says that Daniel on his own sort of removed himself from the center of the scene in Babel, because Daniel was afraid that he would be turned into an object of worship. We have a similar idea. We have a similar idea. One of the reasons, Rashi brings it, one of the reasons why Yaakov says to Yosef before he dies, Al natig b'neini v'mitzrayim, please don't bury me in Egypt. So Rashi says one of the reasons is because Yaakov was afraid that he would be deified in Mitzrayim. His grave would become some kind of an Egyptian shrine. Because remember, when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, the famine ended. It was the second year, the end of the second year of the famine. Famine ends when Yaakov, they saw the bracha that Yaakov gave a bracha that the Nile should come up toward Paro. I mean, there were all sorts of things Yaakov did, and he was afraid that they would deify him, and therefore he said, "I'll not take b'nei in Mitzrayim. Don't bury me in Mitzrayim." There were really two parts to his request. One was, "Don't bury me in Mitzrayim." The second one was, "Bury me in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah." One was the negative, and one was the positive. That's one of the reasons why God didn't want that anybody should know where Moshe is buried, so that his kever should not become, you know, a shrine. Exactly. Hey, Lefi Reish Samech Gimel stands for Afsadya Gon. One of the Perushim, one of the commentaries on Daniel, is a commentary from Rav Sadia Goyen. And the fact is, there's a Perush 1 and a Perush 2. It was originally a great deal was missing from it. It has been reworked over the last number of years. Rav Sadia Goyen, according to Rav Sadia Goyen, "Kola chova chayishtachavoy alatzelam al Daniel ki lo yitochen lidrosh mi neve ne'evad sheyishtachavel neve ne'evad acher." This is similar. I sort of said it a little earlier. The edict to bow down to the statue simply did not apply to Daniel. There were exemptions and there were deferments. And the classic exemption is a worshipee does not worship another worshipee. In other words, he was a ne'evad. In a sense, Daniel had become one who is worshipped. And one who is worshipped, an object of worship, one who is worshipped, it was understood, does not worship another object that is as worshipped. And that's really what I was saying before when I said that believing in many deities, in idolatry there's pluralism. There are different streams in idolatry. You have this kind of idolatry, and that kind of idolatry, and all idolatries are created by man equally. Well, I better remember all of these sentences. So therefore, you can't call upon one idol to worship another idol. That's idol talk. That's idol thought. So therefore, yes. All right. I'm stopping here. I'm stopping. Yes. That's the whole story of the third chapter. The whole story of the third chapter is somebody who's been clearly told that he's the head of gold of this great statue that represents four major empires that are going to rule the world. That's really what this whole chapter is about. Yes?
Isn't it also that man always thinks destiny in the world? It takes, even if you believe in Hashem, man has this almost built-in click in the head that thinks he can do anything.
Of course! You're absolutely right. Man really feels that he has the whole world in his hands and he is the master of his own destiny. He has everything figured out. And, you know exactly when he's going to retire and what his pension is going to be and what he's going to do. And it takes, unfortunately, what it takes sometimes is that there's a surprise, a shock, a clap, and all of a sudden you see that Eile Barechev, Ve'eile Basusim, you can't depend on this one and you can't depend on that one. Ein Lanu Al Mi Lehishayin, Ela Al Avinu Sheva Shemayim, we only can trust in Him. It takes a long, long time until we reach that point. But sometimes what we need is all of our idols shattered one after another. And you know, another one, a few of them got shattered over the last few weeks. They still walk around and they talk and they make pronouncements, but they're ice. It's all over. All over. I think that I want to make a bumper sticker, as you understand, that Ribbono Shel Olam, Tov LaYehudim. That's all. I can't. Nobody else is Tov LaYehudim. All right. Huh? Yeah. You know, it takes me a little longer. We intellectuals, it takes us a little longer. You're right. Yes. All right. Kloma. Daniel Shahida Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel, who was worshipped and he was revered by Nebuchadnezzar, Sheishtachal upon him, who bowed down before him, Klape, Kilifnei Elohim, as one who bows down for a God, Lochayev Lishtachal upon Tselem. He doesn't have to bow down to the Tselem, to the statue, Mishum Shemam Adon Shel Daniel, Hayoshova, Beinei Nebuchadnezzar, Mamad Hatselem, because Daniel was equal in his prestige and stature to the statue. I believe this is the Abarbanel, Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel Pirish, according to the Pshat, Shahamal Shinim Roet Hananya Mishol Hazaya, Shenimnu Beit Hashmat, Kolot Hazema, Lishtahavat Selim, who Bautom Mahamad Lo Hoyot and Yilimayim. Hamal Shinim Divhul Amelachamasha Imro, Dot Hananya, the Vereya, Velo Kolurone Daniel, Shenol Nikol Oto Makom. I don't know, maybe one would say that this is a Balabatish shot, but the Abarbanel says it. After everything we've said until now, this is not going to excite you, and that's okay. He says that everything over here happened as a result of the fact that there were people who were out to say Lashon Hara on the Jews. And who did they catch? They caught Hananya Mishael Vazaya not bowing down. And that's what they reported. So now, who are the ones that were indicted? Hananya Mishael Vazaya. In other words, the Abarbanel is assuming that Daniel was there and Daniel didn't bow down, but they didn't. Either they didn't see or they didn't report. I mean, I'm ready to go one step further. They were afraid to. Even if they saw Daniel not bowing down, Daniel was sacrosanct. They were not going to start up with Daniel. Oh, in other words, yeah, that's why I'm saying I'm going one step beyond the Abarbanel. I'm saying the Abarbanel says that they saw Hananya Mishael Vazaria not bowing down, and that's what they reported. This was their Lashon Hara. And Daniel may have been at some other end of Bikat Dura, standing up and not bowing down. But they didn't see him. I'm saying even if they did see him, Daniel, they would not have reported. They were afraid to start up with Daniel. There's a fear. You don't start up with Daniel. Even those Rishayim. And it may very well be for the same reason, because they knew exactly how Nebuchadnezzar felt about Daniel. They knew that Nebuchadnezzar sees Daniel as some near deity, godlike. Then, you know, you just don't do things like, you don't do things like that. Alright. You have the Medrash Shir HaShirim. Anybody need? Yeah, I'm just going to make sure. I have to make sure that I have it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, here. There's a mixture of different...
Okay.
There's all sorts of things there. Yeah. Medrash Shir HaShirim says the following. Al Dat Rabbanon. Al Dat Rabbanon, it is the opinion of the rabbis of the Yisrael of Yisrael B'mei Nebuchadnezzar. It is the opinion of the rabbis that Jews worshipped idols in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. That was the opinion of the rabbis. That means a number of things. They're saying a number of things. Number one, that all Jews were called upon to bow down, and this statue was an idol. there are two kinds of statues. There's a statue that a king makes, and the bowing down to it is a pledge of allegiance, a pledge of allegiance to the king, not worship. But the rabbis hold that in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, Jews worshipped idols. Al dat Rav Shimon ben Yochai, the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yochai is lo avdu yiskol avi gezor avi mei Nebuchadnezzar. The opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yochai is that Jews did not worship Avu Dezor in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. And now the Medrash explains. Al dat Rabbanon avdu yiskol avi gezor. According to the rabbis, Israel worshipped idols. Ketzer, how? Nebuchadnezzar, Hem Itzelem, Nebuchadnezzar erected a statue, Vehifrish Esrim Ushlosha Mikol Uma V'Uma, the Esrim Ushlosha Mikol Yisrael. He didn't really call upon all people, he called upon 23 from each. How he got to the number 23, I don't know. But, huh? So, but here the Medrash says 23. Now, according to the rabbis, if the delegation is 23, then it means, of course, of the 23, 20 worshipped and 3 didn't. Right? Okay? So when the rabbis say that Israel worshipped idols, it means there were Jews that bowed down to the idol. Al dat Rabbi Shimon lo avdu Yisrael avi dezara haketzad. According to Rabbi Shimon, they didn't worship idols. How is that so? Nebuchadnezzar hem etzelem v'hifrish mikol umah v'umah shlosha shlosha. If he appoints only 3, and who are the shlosha mikol Yisrael? Chananya, Mishael, v'Azariah. Shehayu ashlosha miYisrael undu. In other words, if the sum total representation of the Jewish people are the 3, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, if they don't bow down, it means Jews did not worship idols in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Holchulahem Eitzel Daniel. Listen, it's fascinating. They went to Daniel, Amrullah, they said to him, Rabbeinu Daniel, our Rabbi Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar hem itzelem, Nebuchadnezzar has erected a statue, v'hifrish mikol umah v'umah shlosha shlosha, v'lonu hifrish mikol Yisrael. He separated, he appointed 3 from each nation, and we're the 3 from all of Israel. Ma'ata omer lanu. What do you say to us? Nizgad lei, should we bow down? Or lo, or not? Amalehem, so he said to them, Hineh ha'navi lefnehem. You have a prophet before you. Lechu etzlo, go to him. Who's the prophet that's there? Yecheskel is in Bado. Go to him. Lechu etzlo, holchu lehem miyad etzel Yecheskel. They immediately went to Yecheskel, Amrulo, to Moshe Amrulo Daniel. They said to him as they said to Daniel, Nizgad le'olo, should we bow down or shouldn't we? Amalehem, so he said to them, somebody here had better remember this pasuk. He said to them, "Kvar mekubal ani Yishayahu Rabbi, I received from my Rebbe Yishayahu, Chavi kimat rega ad yavar zam." At 8 o'clock in the morning, you called me, or was it before? First morning of the Gulf War, one of the members of my synagogue is present here, calls me, she says, Rabbi, I need a pasuk. I need something to take me through this. She's falling apart at the seams. It was you. And I told you off the cuff that there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu which says, Leich ami, go my people, bo b'chadorecho, go into your rooms, chavi kima'at rega, wait for a little while, ad yavor, yeah, leich ami bo b'chadorecho, usgor d'losecho ba'adecho. Leich Ami, go my people into your rooms and close the door behind you and put the shmatis, the wet towel down on the floor and put the all that around. Chavim, hide just for a little while until the anger will pass. About an hour later, I get a call from somebody in my congregation. Rabbi, I want you to hear this pasuk that I it went very quickly from your house. And of course, that was a brilliant stroke that came from heaven that I should quote that pasuk to you. It was, and then before I knew it, yes, the beginning of this pasuk is, go, my people, into your rooms, close the door behind you, and lock the door behind you. And then the pasuk goes on to say, Chavi kima'at rega, wait, hide, for a little while, ad yavor zam, until the anger will pass. So I said, from here you know, that what you have to do is, there are times you have to go into your sealed rooms, close the door, lock it behind you, hide for a little while, until the anger passes. So this is what Yechezkel says to them. Now, obviously at this point, you have to understand that it can't be at this point in the Medrash that we're talking about a statue that is an idol. It can't be an idol. What do you mean? Number one, would Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have asked a shaila? You have to go to a gadol to ask a shaila. Should I bow down to an idol or shouldn't I? There's no such question. Second, if it's an idol, so Daniel is going to pass the question on, you know, you need to go to a bigger God will be a soil than me. I mean, obviously we're not talking about, according to this section of the Medrash, we're not talking about something that's an idol. Well, we're talking about something that is a statue. And this statue, therefore, it represents, in a sense, and I'll discuss in a few moments what it represents. Let's say that it represents some kind of a feeling, or it demonstrates something that's not Jewish. And therefore they're asking, should we bow down or not? It can't be that they're asking, should we bow down for Baal or Ashtaroth, or shouldn't we? What are you talking about? There's no Shaila. Anybody can pass in that. You don't need a Golem Yisrael to pass in that. Obviously there's something over here that's not terribly clear. So they come to Yechezkel, and Yechezkel says, this is what I heard from Yeshayahu. Omrulei, so they said to him, my aboya dehon omrin, what do you want us to say? What are we supposed to do? Hodein tsalma sagdim leikol umaya, all of the nations are bowing down to this statue. Om alon, so Yechezkel said to them, umaton omrin, what do you say? What are you planning on doing? Amarulei, they said to him, Anan be'inan niten be'it pegam the nehevet haman v'lo nizgedlein begin the yehevin amin hodein alma kol umayos sabdilei lebar miyisrael. What they're really saying is, you know what we want? We want to be there. It seems at this point also there is the possibility of them, they have the possibility of disappearing. So they say, no, we want to be there, and we want to demonstrably not bow down, so that people will say that the whole world bows down, but Yisrael, except for Yisrael. Amalehem, so Yechezkel said to them, in kedavchem, if this is what you want to do. In other words, what they really want to do is, in a sense, go beyond the letter of the law, in one of two ways. If it's a real idol, they can disappear. They may have, in other words, there are two ways to look at it. It's a real idol. But they have a way to, they're going to disappear from the scene. They're going to flee. If they flee, so they don't have a personal problem anymore, but there is no demonstration of the kindness of this difference. When they ask the question, should we bow down or not, at that point, of course, we have to say that it can't be an idol. You don't ask a question of that sort with regard to an idol.
If it's not an idol, are they allowed to put their lives
in? Oh, that's the question. That's it. If it's not an idol, and they want to demonstrate that Jews are different, then you need a psak from a God will be a soil. The Rambam paskins that somebody who doesn't have to give his life and does give his life, this is a form of suicide. However, the Rambam also says, at a time of Shmad, at a time when there is an onslaught against the Jewish people, Gedolei Hador have a right to give their lives, even if the halacha would not require it. So this is the area in which we find ourselves. Amalahem, so Yecheskel said to them, Im kedaatchem, if this is what you want to do, hamtinuli ad she'emaleich tagevura, wait for me until emaleich. This is an important word. We're going to have this word here in Aramaic. It also comes in a Rashi and Chumash a few times, and people become very confused by this word. It has nothing to do with kingship or kingdom. Emaleich is I'm going to ask for counsel or advice. There's a Rashi, remember as a kid, this was one of the Rashis that you'd ask people like to catch them. When Yitro tells Moshe, you know, you're not going to be able to carry the burden of this whole people along, you have to appoint judges who are going to assist you. So there's a Rashi there that says the following. Iyotzva, plus Yisro says, Iyotzva, I will advise you. V'yihi Hashem imach, and let God be with you. What does his advice have to do with God being with him? So Rashi says the following. Say, Hey, Mem, Lamed, Chaf, Sofit, Bagvura. So you'd always ask somebody, what's it say over here? Say Hamelech b'gevura, let the king go out in his greatness. Has no meaning at all. What the word really is, say Himolech b'gevura, go ask advice of God. That's this word over here. And we're going to see it in Daniel. Anyway, so he said, Yecheskel says, Hamtinuli, wait Abshe Himolech b'gevura until I ask God. Hadohu t'chtiv. That's what it's meant in Yecheskel when it says, Bo anoshim izikne Yisrael lidrosh et Hashem vayeshu lefanav. People from the elders of Israel came to seek out God and they sat before Yecheskel. Umi hayu? Who are these people that came to Yecheskel? Eilu Hananya Mishov Azariah. Amar lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now Yecheskel turns to the Rebbeinu and he says, Rebbeinu shel Olam Hananya Mishov Azariah mevakshim lipein nafshom al kedushat shemecha. Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah want to give their lives for the sanctification of your name. Mitkayem at aleihem olo. Are you going to stand by them or not? Amalo. So God said, Eini mitkayem aleihem. God says, I'm not going to stand by them. Hadohu dechtiv. That's what's meant when it says over there in Yechezkel, Ben Adam, Daber, et zikne Yisroel, v'amadlem, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Halidrosh al ti atem b'ayim. You're seeking me out? You want me to stand by you? I'm not going to stand by you. Me'acha shegeramtem li lahachriz beiti, because since you caused that I should destroy my house, v'lisroth echali, and to burn my temple, u'lahaglod banai levena umot, and to exile my children amongst the nations of the world, v'acha kacha atem b'ayim l'darsheni, after all of this, you come to seek me out, shtayach, when it's just about too late. Chai oni im idareish lachem. I swear, if I will be sought out by you. Ba'ot ashor bochel Yecheskel. At that time, Yecheskel cried the konein, and he groaned the halel, and he moaned ba'atzmo ba'amah, and he said, Vay l'sonei Yisrael. Woe to the enemies of Israel. And by the way, when he says sonei Yisrael over here, this is a euphemism. He says, Vay. This is not a political statement that he's making. Vai, maybe it is. Vai to Yisrael. Avda she'edit Yehuda. The remnants of Yehuda are lost. Shalom ishtayim Yehuda. Ela elu bilvav. The only ones that remain of Yehuda are these three. Shenema vayibahem ibnei Yehuda. First chapter in Daniel. So you see, this is how he understands what Yecheskel is talking about. When he says the she'edus of Yehuda, the leftovers of Yehuda, so what remained of Yehuda? Who are the ones that are called the people of Yehuda? The Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, Vizu Tshuva Ba'alehem. This was the answer that came to them. And he cried and went. Even the also, when he came to them, Amarule Ma amalecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sachananya Mishal V'Azari Yisaitim. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to you? Amalehem, he said to me, Eino mitkayem aleichem, he's not going to stand by you. Amlo, so they said, Bein mitkayem, Bein she'ein mitkayem, Anu notnim nashotenu al kedushat shemo. Whether he stands by us or he doesn't stand by us, we're going to give our lives for the sanctification of his name. Teidaracha shu'tein. How do we know that this is so? Sha'at shalom po eitzel Yechezkel ma omru lo leNebuchadnezzar. Before they came to Yechezkel, what did they say to Nebuchadnezzar? Lo chashken anachna al denot pitgam lahatavutach hein itaya lohana di anachnu polchin yachil l'sheza vutana. This was a puzzle that we had here in the chapter. When they are called upon to bow down, so their first response to Nebuchadnezzar is, Lo chashkin anachna, we are not concerned, al dinot pitgam, about your command, lahatavutach, to even answer your command. Because hein ita elohana, there is a God, the anachna polchin, to whom we worship, yachil shezavutana, he can save us. That was their first response. After they had come to Yechezkel, the Shamal and Shuba, they heard his answer, Anu leNebuchadnezzar. The next pasuk, they seemed to be backtracking, and we sort of pointed out that there was a backtracking in the pasuk afterwards. Vehein lo yediyah lehevelecha malka. King, you should know, we don't know. Maybe he won't. Maybe our God won't save us. And even if he doesn't save us, we're still going. Vein matzul, vein lo matzul. We don't know whether he saves us or he doesn't save us. You deal the heaven of Malka. You should know, King. Deal the lahachlo iton a polchin to your God. We're not going to worship ulitzelim the haver the hikant and to the statue of gold that you have erected. Lord is good. We will not bow down. And here's the beautiful part of it all. Min denafkin min gabedi Yechezkel. I get such a feeling that min denafkin min gabedi Yechezkel, when they went out from before Yechezkel, Nigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Yechezkel, Vamalo, and he told him, Yechezkel, Ma'at Sofor, She'eni Mitkayim Aleim, Yechezkel, what do you think? You think I'm not going to stand by that? Come on, give me a break. Mitkayim Ani Aleim Bevadai, certainly I'm going to stand by them. But of course, as we said, last week we mentioned this in passing, Kiddush Hashem cannot be intercepted. It's a contradiction in terms. A person who's going on Kiddush Hashem, you don't go on Kiddush Hashem with absolute certainty that you're going to be saved, so it's not Kiddush Hashem. Gate Minister of Kiddush Hashem, even though, of course, in a sense, in terms of what they want to accomplish, the same thing is accomplished. They want to demonstrate before the whole world that the whole world bows down to the statue, but not Israel. You know, the fact of what they want to accomplish is accomplished whether they know in advance that they're going to be saved or not. And their purpose is, they want the name of God to be revered in the world. That's what they want. Makes no difference to them whether they're going to get credit for it, brownie points for it, or not. That doesn't make any difference to them. What they want is to make this demonstration before a whole world. On the contrary, in a sense, having the guarantee in advance, they don't mind having guaranteed advance because it diminishes their share in this. What they're really concerned with is Shem Shemayim. Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu, ki im l'shimcha tein kavod. But of course, what is going to emerge is that both are going to happen. They are going to be mekadei shem shamayim in the near ultimate way, and at the same time, a world is going to know that nobody bows, that a whole world bows down and Jews don't bow down yet.
But their problem, God swore he wouldn't say.
I don't understand. You have another problem. God lied. So why? I mean, what? You're afraid to.
I'm sure I've never been to the throne. Oh,
Under his breath, he said, "Beli neder." Most probably, this could be added to the psukim and the Mamore Chazal, from which you learn that there are certain circumstances under which you are permitted to lie. Remember, it's not so. God makes the rules. God makes the rules. By the way, and if God tells Nevi'im that he's going to bring terrible suffering and punishment, so he must do it.
Not immediately.
What do you mean? You can change. What tshuva to God said? It sends Yonah to Nineveh to announce, "Oh, dar goyim yom v'Nineveh nehepachet." In another 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And then the 40 days come and go, and Nineveh is not destroyed because there was a great tshuva movement in Nineveh. Now the fact is, God can swear that He's not going to stand by them, but I'll get God out of this. I'm going to get him out of it. When they walk out and they say, whether he stands by us or he doesn't stand by us, we're going to go give our lives. These are new people. These are not the people that he had in mind that he will not stand by them. By such people who are ready to give their lives, knowing that God will not stand by them, for them I'm going to stand by. It's different, Hananya Mishav Azari. It's the same God. You like that, huh? I got out of it? You like it? I got out of it. Yeah, okay, Toby. Go ahead.
Hashem, he says,
Ki
Anochi Hashem,
Elokim
openly, that he is God, he redoes some of his words with different things. First of all, with Nimrod, to begin with, he sent Jonah because he didn't want to destroy them. Jonah didn't want to go. God really didn't want to destroy them, even though he said he would. But you see, he sent somebody.
But he sent him to say, "Od ar boim yom v'ninvein epochus." And
secondly, with the slavery in Egypt, Hashem heard the voice of the people and the outcry and made it left. And in many, many, many instances, Hashem is known to rethink how he's going to do things.
Well, that's a little dangerous to say that, but we'll talk about that. Okay, let's get another few comments. I mean, that note over there was on. I have to pick up my wife at the Tachanun Arkazit soon. Would you want me to be? Will you stand by me if I'm late? All right, but go ahead. Go ahead.
I just want to say that the whole purpose of this is the tshuva. Because
exactly.
John didn't want to go because
exactly.
That people will do tshuva, and then God will not punish them, and then people will look like a fool.
No.
So I'm saying the same thing as I agree, and the same thing is being done here. God wants to see what's going to be their response. I swear that I'm not going to stand by that. Yes, Rhoda.
What is the connection
to tshuva? Oh, you'll have to wait till next week. Yeah, she asked the good questions. Like, what's it have to do with? Yes.
They were going to not to bow down.
Yeah.
And that's why did they have to go in there to pledge to get to the big
mountain?
They
had
already decided ahead of time.
So that
and
I can.
Why did they have to go to Texas? Then I can. They had said they were going to not do it.
That I can only. And that I can only explain in terms of the halachic idea. If it's not a real idol, then it's a very important shiloh whether to bow down or not to bow down. It's a serious shiloh. We'll talk about it next week.